Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Are you tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card?
Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night.
Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime.
So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve.
Limitations apply.
See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
It just, when he is doing the sexy time movements, it just makes me think of like a flexible Ken doll, like the elbows move and the knees move.
It's a lot.
And but there's, turn and
yeah, you can turn rotate, the body. Yeah. And it's like sort of if you put your Ken doll in like a making out position and put it on top of the Barbie, somehow it just doesn't feel lifelike.
Yep.
Welcome to Here to Make Friends, a HuffPost podcast about the Bachelor franchise, where we lovingly snark on The Bachelor and Bachelor-adjacent shows.
Whether you love The Bachelor or love to hate it, we're here to break down every single delicious moment with you.
I'm Emma Gray.
And I'm Claire Fallon. What a week. Not the fun, lighthearted episode of The Bachelor that I was expecting or needing. It's been a really tough week in media. It was a heavy week on The Bachelor. Emma and I and our guests needed a lot of coffee, really just to bring ourselves to the mic today.
We're still guzzling, but we're powering through.
We're somehow here. Yeah.
We are joined, as you can tell from his voice, by Brett Vergara.
Hello. Recently unemployed, Brett Vergara.
Thanks.
Joining you all.
Thanks, BuzzFeed. But... still an ardent Bachelor tweeter extraordinaire.
And listen, we have more time than ever to just tweet nonsense into the void.
And we can podcast all day. And you don't have to go back to the office.
And as we were alluding to before, now we're literally just here to make friends.
Yeah.
Like there's no like little media tie that we need to do here. It's just so much friendship.
More tweeting, less getting paid.
Even the bonds of friendship will survive the digital media bloodbath.
We're a family.
We're going to be okay. We're going to be okay. That's what I keep telling myself. It's fine.
Fun transitional note, the women on The Bachelor don't get paid. I mean, it's crazy how much unpaid labor just surrounded by.
Maybe they should unionize.
They should unionize. Someone, Heather Schwedel, not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, wrote about that for Slate this week. And it was an interesting article all about the things that the women could collectively band together to demand. And money did not come up. And I was like, I think that's priority number one.
Wait, what were they saying?
It was like, they could demand that they all get equal time with The Bachelor and stuff like that. I mean, honestly, by the time the show had been unionized to that degree, there would be nothing left to watch.
Yeah.
It would just be women going on speed dates with him and then, you know, sharing their hobbies. No one would be having a fight. That's not what we got this week on The Bachelor. This week, we got some drama. We're down to our final 15 girls.
I'm starting to actually learn their names.
There you go.
Yeah.
Look at that.
I mean, there's still so many Hannahs and just, you know, the Hannahs, the newborn.
A whole two.
I'm worried that we're going to
have Hannahs. It's still a lot. You know?
We're going to be doing last initials on the Hannahs for a while, which is annoying because Hannah G especially is kind of a front runner, I think.
Yeah.
But we're just going to have to keep calling her Hannah G because Hannah B is going to keep sticking around.
So the thing is, too, is like Hannah G's a front runner, but I feel like I have not heard her like say like a full complete sentence.
Colton loves that.
I guess. I mean, that's just a
theme. She's a beautiful blonde doll.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you know, she'll be around. And I'm sure she'll get a one-on-one soon.
Yeah.
And we'll be able to hear
it's
more from her.
It's been longer than I expected, though.
Her and Cassie.
It's starting to get weird.
Mm-hmm.
Cassie's getting one next week, though. We saw a preview. And it seems like Hannah G still no. But
Never forget that Catherine got
her first one-on-one week six on Sean's season. Yeah. So
okay, we're getting there. Yeah. What, five?
This week
was four. Oh,
okay.
So next week will be five.
It feels
time
like
is
five.
A blur. I don't know.
So it's crazy to realize, given where we end the episode, but we start back in the L.A. mansion. Mm-hmm. Chris Harrison comes in and asks Hannah B., Kaylin, how are you doing?
This was so dumb and produced.
Yeah. I will admit, like, it completely, like, went over my head how intentional it was. I was just like, oh, Chris is just completely not giving a fuck anymore. So I wish it was that, but I'm like, oh, wait, okay. You know, I want to believe Chris is just, like, rolling out of bed, forgetting contestants' names. Like, well, what do you need me for? Okay. All right.
I mean, it works because it's so believable that you would mix up, honestly, any two of these women, but especially if you just had associated them together because they both were beauty queens and they hate each other and their names are not so rigorously attached to them in your head.
Yeah.
So it's believable, but it was definitely produced.
Yes, a little bit.
And Hannah says, well, my name is Hannah, but also not great. You know, things were said about me that should never have been said, and it wasn't fun for her. Kaylin compares her to a gnat in an in-the-moment intercut, which seems like a completely different part of taping, so who knows when she said that. But that's all just set up. Then Chris says, look, there's no date today because we're going to a place that we've never been in the history of the show, as far away as you can go in the world, Singapore.
They are traveling internationally so early
week
this season.
Four.
This is like a fantasy suites location.
Yeah,
And I was thinking
that
like,
is amazing. Like these girls are lucky.
With like Becca's season, how they were in Virginia, like week eight. That's like what they really had to look
forward
to. Colton
was top four and he only went to the Bahamas.
Oh my God.
Like,
which is great.
Yeah, no.
Sure,
no shade
but
to Bahamas. Yeah.
I'm just saying, these girls have made it, you know.
He didn't even have to pay $500,000 for it, for a luxury villa in that on that particular trip. Sorry, that was a Firefest
reference.
Help me out here, guys.
But yeah, clearly, you know, The Bachelor carries greater weight with these tourism boards. And I also have to assume Singapore wants to amp up their presence with a U.S. audience in the wake of Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah. Ride that wave a little
bit. I really thought there was going to be a movie tie-in somehow, and they didn't mention it.
Yeah, it's weird. Often when there's a movie tie-in, it's a movie that still hasn't come out.
True.
So I imagine they were just like, oops.
It's like, oh, missed the opportunity. Oh, well.
Yeah. If people haven't heard of Crazy Rich Asians by now, they're not going to be hearing about it from The Bachelor. It's like the same demographic. So Onyeka points out that Colton has never left North America, and she, however, is not an international traveling virgin. Demi thinks he could lose his virginity in Singapore. Just Hannah G does not
confident.
Know where Singapore is. A lot of things coming out.
Wow,
also,
it was a lot.
We need to talk about how she said, like, Singapore. Like, it just, I could not get over that. Like, I know everyone moved on so quickly, but it really upset me. Not just the where, but also just the product, like it hurt me. It hurt me a lot.
They really need to be giving out maps during the, like, just bone up on your geography. Like, look, it's not my best subject either, but
also imagine her surprise when she's like, oh, where is Singapore? And then she finds out she's in store for a 17-hour flight. It's like, oh, it's a bit far. It's a little bit far.
Well, he said it's as far away as you can go in the world. So just, like, literally imagine the opposite side of the world.
Yeah.
That is kind of where it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
All of a sudden, they're there.
They're there. It went very quickly. I wish my international flights were that fast. Colton has decided that he is going to accept that Hannah B and Kaylin don't like each other. He's just going to, like, ignore that, basically.
Wise.
Yeah. I mean, he probably should have done that to begin with.
Right.
The girls show up at the Fairmont Singapore. From their room, they can see all of it.
And that's good because, you know, you can't leave the room unless you get a date. So
that's true.
It pays.
But they do all get a date this week. I don't think that they actually still know what Singapore is. That was Hannah G again, just still trying to figure it out.
I don't trust her analysis.
The date card comes to their suite. Tayshia, let's fall in love.
I'm happy Tayshia got a
date. I was very excited to, because like she's just been this like person I wanted to see way more of. And it's like,
right.
Okay,
she's
like,
been a constant presence, but in this very low key way, kind of in the background. Right. So it's nice for her to get some screen time on her own.
Yeah. She's been sort of like a Cassie style dark horse. Mm-hmm. Like, he likes these really sweet, quiet girls, and they just don't really pop on camera, especially unless they get like a real one-on-one setting, because they don't talk that much in group settings. There's no drama.
Well, and if you're in like the world of the demis and the beauty queens fighting, then it's a little hard to, you know, get.
This episode was exhausting. It really made me think, as I often do, about just how young these women are. They were all like very, a lot of them seemed very like they're from, you know, middle class or upper middle class backgrounds. They're very well groomed. Mm-hmm. They're very like they have huge wardrobes. None of them seem that familiar with like the world outside of their like college town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they a lot of them seem very tentative. Mm-hmm. And it was I sort of wished it was a slightly older cast.
Yeah. No, well, like for me, like I've really felt that so much this season in particular, just because usually I like Bachelor more than Bachelorette, because like Bachelor's about the women, Bachelorette's about the men. So it's like, oh, like so Bachelor, I'm going to see just like these really great relationships between women. That's the best part of the show, like the friendships that come out of it. But then I'm like, it took me a while to actually like really get into anybody this season, because it's like a younger crowd and I just like couldn't connect.
Yeah.
You know? But maybe I
can only connect with people who are my age historically, and not a lot of 30-year-olds. It's going to get harder and harder for me. So Hannah B. is upset because she knows what happens on these one-on-ones.
She knows.
They're going to have so much fun. Which is ironic because no one had fun on her one-on-one. And so if she imagined them having a one-on-one sort of similar to the one she had, then that's got to be reassuring, right? They're going to awkwardly try to make conversation and fail. Eventually, he'll just give her a pity rose.
They're going to try to do like a toast thing and everyone's going to panic.
Yeah. But they're going to say some words that are very real, that are real words, and they have real meaning. And they'll go in an order that feels real.
Oh, she'll be like, Colton now knows that he can't take the first toast, and Tayshia's going to benefit from that. It's so unfair.
So unfair.
I taught him, and now she gets the finished product. Colton's video diary is back.
Why is this now a thing?
Like, it's
just
not
like vlogger
for me.
Colton. I just really want to know.
It's so bad.
I want to know like what the goal is here. Like where it's just like
try something new.
I guess.
I do think they're trying to tap into like the. I think they've decided this season, fuck it, we're going for the influencer audience. Hannah G's here. She's a front runner. They're willing to like call her a content creator, which is a clear reference to being an influencer. The Colton thing is so much like it's like unboxing videos or something. He's just like, here I am, just like hanging out with my poor quality selfie video. Like, what's up? He is no longer jet lagged because he has one night of sleep. Learning a lot from Colton.
Wow, I wish that I had.
He has no idea what he's in store for at that point. But like we just learned nothing from these videos about him, and I think they're trying
except that he can sit in a bed shirtless and film himself.
True.
I wish
just sipping on his coffee.
Skill.
Honestly, like the coffee bit's relatable. We all had to, you know. Sometimes you just need to like prep to get into things, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily need to video it.
I mean, I feel like they're trying to get us to get to know him more. But we don't really learn anything about him from these videos.
Yeah.
We never really got the introduction to Colton's life because they've only talked about his virginity. And then they spent all of the first episode, which normally does a little intro package for The Bachelor. They spent all of that on those watch parties.
Oh, yeah. Those delightful watch parties.
Yeah. It's like we barely saw him. All we saw of him on Paradise was him being like, I don't know if I should date Tia. We still know like nothing about this guy.
Yeah, very fair.
And so I feel like they're trying to give us a connection to him, but it's just as bland as anything else they've shown us. So he meets Tayshia on a beach. She thinks the date card might mean waterfalls because they're by the water.
Well,
and in fact, it is bungee jumping.
This looked so terrifying.
Oh, yeah. Like, this just – I feel like I have – I mean, we'll get into it when they eventually – bungee jump. And especially her, like, I don't know if you're supposed to, like, go front first when you bungee jump or, like, how you're supposed to do it. But I didn't like how, like, her body just, like, snapped. Like, I just didn't really love it. I feel like I have phantom pains in my neck from just watching what I had to last night.
But it just looked horrifying. But it was a throwback because they used to do these kind of dates all the time where they would, you know, jump out of an airplane or scale a building or something.
Bungee jumping is a staple.
Yeah, it was meant to elicit, you know, a sort of a rush that allows – there's, like, scientific backing for this. It allows people to form those connections more quickly. But they haven't done it in a while. But I guess they're bringing it back. They're bringing back the intense international travel. They're bringing back
the high-octane fear dates.
They have, in general,
terrorizing their contestants.
Been bringing the fear back to The Bachelor.
Yeah,
there's Demi. There's bungee jumping.
Leeches.
I'm terrified.
There's just so much
leeches.
Fear.
Oh, man. I never really thought about whether leeches were painful until this date. So thank you to The Bachelor for that. Colton, I think that there has to be some level of what the lead is willing to do. Mm-hmm. Colton is like, it's okay if I, like, have a grievous bodily injury now because I'm not going to play football.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I have no discernible career. So why not?
So
like, what's the worst thing that can happen?
Yeah,
it's
just
my
everything.
Health and maybe the rest of my life. But no, bungee jumping is probably very safe, I'm sure. So they do their jump, and then they get to get, like, strip into their swimsuits and spoon on the beach,
just a little, you know, just like, oh, whatever, we can just, like, mess around here, I suppose. I don't know. They blew the budget on the bungee jumping and just going all the way across the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, just hang out on the beach. I don't know.
And now we're at this, like, very tiny beach.
Yeah.
Like, right with, like, buildings right behind it.
Yeah.
And we're just going to
hang, I guess. Yeah.
Make out. And time for the night date. We really zipped through this date. I thought they didn't have a lot to show us.
Yeah, yeah.
No, because both of them are pretty just agreeable people.
Yeah.
It wasn't very stressful. It didn't seem awkward.
Yeah, just chill.
She didn't even really freak out about bungee jumping. They just kind of both did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we're used to seeing someone have a full-on panic attack.
I would have a full-on panic attack for sure.
No, she even said that she's not particularly afraid of heights. And I was like, how did she get this date if she's not afraid of heights?
That's maybe the they were like, we this is so terrifying that you need to have, you know, a basic level of comfort with
it. Are you willing to confront your biggest fear for Colton? And is Colton able to comfort you as you hyperventilate?
He almost seemed to need more comfort.
Oh, it very much seemed that way.
Yeah.
He really howled
on his way down. That scream was truly just beautifully haunting. I don't know, just something. It was truly something.
So Tayshia is, like, going in with her game face on to this dinner. She has a heavy subject to discuss with Colton. And Colton gives her the perfect opening with his go-to line, which is,
Oh my God, you are so positive
and calm.
Yeah.
I want to know how you can make me feel that way without saying anything. I want to know how you are the way you are.
How you are the way you are. Like, at first, this felt nice, but now he said it so many times that it's fallen very flat.
Also, I feel like every single time he's about to say it, he just starts smiling because he's just like, oh, I'm about to, like, just drop this poetic line again. Here it comes.
How are you?
Not why, but how?
Yeah, see, that's you're not used to that from the other guys. You're just used to
SNL like, did a nice parody.
That was a work of art.
Oh, gosh. I have to watch that.
It's great.
Yeah, and it's a weird question. It's a very, like, therapizing question, which fits very well into the show. And and it came up several times this episode that Colton has this idea that I think a lot of people do in our culture of mental health and, like, the idea of how we're formed as people, which is, like, that you're born of your traumas and your experiences, and that if you have a certain trait, it is because of something that happened to you in the past, and you can, like, trace that back very neatly. Mm-hmm. People are always saying to him, like, oh, I'm just, like, a positive person. That's not the answer he's looking for. Like, the answer is, My dog was run over by a car. Yeah, and at that moment, I knew that I had to always approach life with a smile because I never know when my dog will be taken from me.
Yeah, you better have a clear narrative.
And if you don't have a clear narrative, going back to what Catherine from last week, was her name Catherine?
Caitlin.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, she had nothing to say about herself.
Where she was just like, oh, well, you know, I'm just here to hang out. I don't really know how. And then it's like, okay, bye.
Yeah. I mean, she was extremely boring. But also, Colton has a very bachelor-approved opening to the big conversations that if you're not prepared to participate in the bachelor-approved exchange of stories, you're just...
You can be baffled,
how am I the way I am? But then if you're like, well, I came in here to tell this story, so this seems like the right time. It's a cue. So she tells him that she has been through hard times. She was married in the past year and a half and got divorced. She'd been with her first boyfriend for 6 years. And she says that she really fought for the relationship because she was a Christian woman and she thought she would be married only once, but she couldn't, I guess, make her husband want to be married is sort of what she implied. She said, you can't make someone want to be married.
True.
Yeah. Divorce is not a two-way street, as it were. Like, if one person wants to get divorced, the marriage is over. Yeah. That's kind of how it works. But Colton is like, yeah, my parents are divorced, so I'm down with that. And I hope that you keep being happy and smiling because it's so sexy. Thank you, Colton.
But it was nice to see, you know, I mean, the bar is so low for this show, but so often divorce is kind of framed as this, like
how dare you?
Unreal moral failing. How dare you? How damaged must you be? Or like your parents are divorced. That is disqualifying.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was nice to see this kind of treated as what it is, which is something that A, is very common. And B, just, you know, the end of a relationship, which is often like the best decision for the people in that relationship. Because if someone does not want to be married to you, that's not going to be a great marriage for you.
Right. Yeah.
And she, you know, is now free to pursue relationships that will be better for her soul. Yeah. So
it is interesting. This episode, we saw a couple storylines that are often not aired on The Bachelor or are treated as, you mentioned, as like a warning sign that they actually suck at relationships being like absorbed into this overarching Bachelor treatment of past suffering, which is like we've now appropriated divorce and sexual assault into the pantheon of
acceptable traumas.
Acceptable things that you can share with the Bachelor to show that you like have suffered enough to be ready for love, basically.
It's a delicate dance in this show's treatment of trauma of all kinds.
And of course, because you want them to be able to be divorced and like talk about that on the show, that's real. But the Bachelor paradigm is so like the formula is so clear and the rewards and consequences are so clearly laid out that it's always uncomfortable to watch anyway.
Right. We were talking about this earlier. It's just one of those things you kind of have to grapple through because there is this set structure people are set up to, you know, purge their traumas in this really public forum, which they should be able to do. But also, the point is then, well, now the Bachelor will approve of your story or the Bachelorette and will advance you to the next round. Like, congratulations. And that setup is just thorny, inevitably.
Yeah. I think it often, to me, comes off also as a test for the lead, which is, like, are they someone who is just looking for someone who's fun and never going to challenge them, or are they really someone who's capable of, like, listening to the hard truths about life?
And also sometimes we see people respond really poorly to people's disclosures. So, you know, Colton did not, which was heartening.
Colton his response is always to try to relate it to his own experience, which can come off kind of weird.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that more later. But I think it's a very normal human reaction. Mm-hmm. And usually when it's me, if I tell about a trauma and someone in an empathetic way is like listens and then also like segues a little bit into their own experience, I'm like fine with that. Yeah. I think that's how humans
So am I generally. Like, and it can be done, you know, inarticulately or a little awkwardly. But I think...
Yeah, I
when
mean,
you're in conversation
like,
with someone, often it does the empathy comes through.
Yeah.
And I think like when you are listening to someone share something like that, it's just like a natural thing. And then if you I always notice when I do it, I'm in my head being like, don't like make this about you. Like, don't do it. Don't
and
do
then
it.
I say then, it. I'm like, yeah, I'm no, doing right, it. I'm doing
sudden,
it.
Yeah. And then but then I realize that if I just hear them and I'm like, well, that sucks. You know, then like that sounds short. So I'm like, OK, well, I should give a little bit more. But this is where, you know, so it is a weird
balance. You want to like you want to say, I'm sorry. You want to say, I can't imagine. You want to say, tell me more if you're comfortable.
Right.
But then you also want to be like, yeah, like here's the extent to which I can try to enter your experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And like now you also know something more about me.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think that's important.
Yeah. And again, like he gets at that, you know, later on in the show where I think it's also important to be like, you know, I definitely can't fully empathize. You know, I can't like fully.
Yeah.
Know,
and I think we'll get into his response to Kaylin later and talk more about that.
Right.
So he gives Tayshia the rose.
Yay.
And they make out on a Ferris wheel sort of thing.
I don't. Something like
it
that.
It was like a light.
Some wheel. A light. There's a view.
Yeah. It didn't seem to be moving. I don't know what was happening.
The important thing was the making out, though.
They made out.
So.
The group date arrives, the date card, and it goes to Hannah G, Elise, Kerpa, Sydney, Heather, Onyeka, Tracy, Nicole, Demi, Courtney, Katie, Cassie, Hannah B. Let's get a taste of Singapore. That is all of the women in the house who do not get one-on-ones, so it's 13 women. Mm. This is like the pivot week where they have more one-on-ones than group dates, and all the women get a date, so it's a lot of ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone who has read or seen Crazy Rich Asians knows about, you know, I mean, or has been to Singapore or like knows anything about it, knows about the street markets and the cuisine. So clearly they're going to be walking around the streets of the city a little bit and tasting some delicious food.
What I will say is I do think like what they're doing with Colton's B-roll is very weird and interesting. Like they just like have him order something for $2 and then he's like drinking something and there's just
right,
like,
it looked
very
like
dramatic.
Some sort of recovery
yeah, yeah,
green
yeah, yeah.
juice
yeah,
that's
exactly
or
what it
something.
Like. But it was just like a very dramatic stare off into the distance as he just sips from a straw.
So many dramatic contemplation shots that didn't really seem to have a purpose.
Yeah.
I love the idea of them taking him out. Like, he lands, it's nighttime, they get there, and they're like, all right, we're going out to the grocery store on the corner, and you're going to order whatever is directly in front of you.
Also, maybe, like, a bit of a over-analysis of it, but I did like how he was like, oh, I want that. And there was this pause. He was like, $2. Like, there was almost, like, this thing where it's like Colton almost, like, wanted it for free.
You know?
Like, that was almost implied. Yeah. He's like, what? I'm the bachelor. Don't you know? What is this?
No, that's true. There was, like, an awkward. He's like, I'll take that. And the guy's like.
It's like, money,
you
sir.
You gotta give me some money for that. These aren't the finest fashion stores in all of. Okay, so that means Kaylin is getting the one-on-one, and Hannah B. thinks this is the most hurtful result that could have happened this week. She needs to chill.
Hannah, just, girl, get it together.
It's week four, and she's already had a one-on-one. She does not get to be pissed about anyone else getting a one-on-one.
I know, she already had a one-on-one.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that they eventually quashed this because it was just.
But also,
spoiler.
Did they? But
yeah,
also,
sorry.
Do they?
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, because
we'll
like that's my thing.
I mean, I'm sure it's been renewed now that they're seeing all the ITMs.
Yeah.
There was
we
that.
Haven't really seen any more teasers of them.
No,
out,
I think it's probably done in the house
because
it wasn't benefiting either of them.
Yeah.
Demi is willing to stir up shit with anyone, so she, with it becomes clear that Kaylin's getting the one-on-one, and she says, Kaylin, I don't know you at all, but it is frustrating to see more of his time going to someone who's in this situation than someone who hasn't been involved at all. which is like a really bizarrely confrontational thing to say for like no reason.
Yeah, especially they had like no real like issue before, but now it's just like we're going to dig in our heels.
The weird thing about Demi to me that this speaks to is that she is like, I think actually kind of a mess tactically. Like she's always pulling stuff like this that just like causes drama for no reason. She's instigating drama with other girls. And then like if anyone else does that, we're like, that's so stupid, girl. Don't start drama. And with Demi, we're all like, wow, she's playing the game so well. I don't get it. She's like breaking all the rules.
She is certainly a shitster.
And Kaylin is just like, whatever. Like, what do you say to that?
Yeah. Nothing, like, okay. Which is what she did.
So all the women meet him in the street market.
And Demi just
jumps.
There's always the one person who's
like, also, I want to know how that works, how there's always one person who's like miles ahead of everybody else, where just like they just got like a head start. There was a gate. It's like, okay, go, Demi,
it's
go.
It's like the Kentucky Derby. And then everyone's like, wait, did her gate open before mine?
It's like wait a minute. How are you just like lengths ahead?
It's like Jerry Seinfeld on the playground. So she does, she's like, I'm just going to play this date like I am the only person here. Which I guess means that she just like climbs all over him.
Like a little Demi backpack. Just that's essentially what this date was for half of it.
Yeah, she's getting piggyback rides. She's insisting that she and Colton get portraits together. He starts out the date by sort of saying that he's worried about managing all the girls. And I think that he was right to be worried about that because he does not know how to like cope with the fact that like some women are not really jockeying for his attention super hard. And then like one woman is, and he's just like, okay, I guess this is the person I'm hanging out with then. It's like, no, you're supposed to get to know all of them.
Yeah. He's not being very proactive.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a lot of people. Like,
I would have difficulty with it too. Like, I can't really blame him.
It reminds me of like if you have like a birthday drinks and it's like, oh, you want to get around to everyone, but getting around to everyone is like impossible.
And then you like somehow end up only talking to the one person who like came alone that you like invited and didn't even want to hang out with.
It's like,
I guess this is who I'm entertaining.
Yeah, it's more just like I logistically don't know how to get out of this situation. So Demi, here we go.
Exactly.
I actually love birthday drinks because it's the great opportunity to get out of like to keep moving. Like I'm like, I'm the hostess.
Oh, yeah,
so like obviously I can't keep talking to you. You're great.
You're my
friend. I invited you, but like I gotta go over there.
You have to teach me how to do that because I'm just not
bob and weave.
I'm not good at the bob and weave.
It went very poorly at my wedding. I handled it badly. So we all have our Waterloos. Colton at this point is like, oh look, leech therapy. Just occurred to him, I bet.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So they go in and people are just lying on tables with leeches on their skin. And they're all like, let's just get a leech. Apparently it really hurts. I had never thought about that. I sort of thought it was just like a mosquito bite, but without the itching afterwards.
Well, also like I feel like we were getting mixed messaging too because it's like apparently it really hurts. But then we have just snapshots of like
they all
Hannah
seem fine.
Hannah B just like has like a leech on her stomach, just like, oh, you know, like just hang it out. It's like, don't you want that off of you? Like, what's going on here?
Sydney described it as a jellyfish sting.
Yeah, which is painful.
Yeah. I mean, but it's like getting tattooed. Like, I see people getting tattooed very calmly, but it really hurts.
That's true.
So who knows what the human body is capable of. This whole scene was sort of the real beginning for me of a severe discomfort with the whole setup of the date, which was sort of like, oh, look, how weird. They, like, put leeches on their skin here. It's unsanitary. It's disgusting.
And it was very uncomfortable. Yeah. Like, oh, this foreign culture. Weird.
Do they even know about ibuprofen here? Like, it just felt really
The
icky.
Food stuff bothered me even more than the leeches.
It really kept escalating. Yeah. I mean, it's also just an opportunity for women to make jokes about how the other women they don't like are leeches or about how delicious their blood is. Courtney is like, are these leeches FDA approved?
I thought that was kind of funny.
It's just like, I mean, obviously not because the FDA is an American.
Well, obviously not. I don't think she was asking it seriously.
I'm just like, ugh. I don't like the thing where we treat these other, you know, other people's cultures as like this sort. We're roughing it here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Roughing it here in this, like, weird. Yeah. Especially, it's especially funny because Singapore is like a wildly wealthy country.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right. I do think especially the food scenes like bothered me more in that lens. I mean, I will say, like, if someone wanted to put a leech on me, I would not be like amazingly into that.
That trepidation felt more normal, like, to me. And then when you paired it with the food
then
stuff,
it's like, okay,
it felt really gross.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But also the leech date, and then combined with like the other personal stories, it does get into this weird, like, kind of vibe of this episode where it's like, how much are you willing to sacrifice for Colton?
Right.
Physically,
jump off a
emotionally,
building.
Just like, a lot of like, just do harm to yourself too.
Literally give your blood to another creature.
So they sit down to eat, and it's all, you know, dishes that are probably unfamiliar to the average Midwestern bachelor contestant. Bullfrog, pig's feet, intestines, like eel, I think. And some of the women, I want to note, just kind of quietly start eating and seem fine. Mm.
They mostly seemed fine, actually.
And then there is a lot of, especially from Hannah B., like, demonstrative gross.
She also does eat an eye, which, like, is a thing you could do in an American restaurant and be grossed out by.
Yeah.
Like, that's a choice.
What also, too, I think this also played into, like, Hannah B's just, unfurling over here, where it's like, okay, I need to just, like, make this a big deal to get some attention here, because if I'm just cool with this, then, like, you know, Colton's going to spend more time with Kaylin later. You know, so maybe it was just, like,
but, like, that's
there.
Not a good look.
It's not a good look.
Oh,
at
it's
all.
Not a good look.
It's not a good look at all. But
I mean, and she has been spiraling the state. She feels like he's not responding to her when she tries to talk to him. She thinks he's avoiding her because of Kaylin. But to be like, will I die if I eat this, like, food from this, like, gourmet street market?
Yeah, the answer is,
like,
no.
The finest cuisine in the world. Like, you're going to be fine. And the whole thing was sort of framed, in this very sort of fear factory way, like, when in fact it's like a wonderful opportunity. So Colton toasts to weird food.
Oh, Colton.
Oh, this day made me tired. I mean, it's just in 2019, in the year of Crazy Rich Asians, actually the year after Crazy Rich Asians, which, like, you read that book and all you want to do is eat every single dish.
Oh my gosh. And the movie just made me
to treat Singaporean cuisine as if it's disgusting is so offensive.
It's absurd.
Night date, finally. We missed that Cassie gets a fortune reading with Colton.
Oh, right.
And the fortune teller, I missed what exact, like, process this was, like tarot cards or whatever. Mm-hmm. But he says that Cassie was Colton's past life sister.
That's pretty funny.
Just
pretty awkward.
Good. Yeah.
It means, like, they have a deep affinity.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was meant to be, you know, like, they're very complimentary to each other.
But
there,
like,
was the weird, you know,
maybe
incest suggestion.
A little
too
complimentary.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's,
it's not the thing you want to hear when you're dating a new guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're basically siblings.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not sexy.
I don't know. You guys need to open your minds now. So judgmental. So they go to a lovely lounge for the evening. Hannah B steals him before his butt is really able to hit the seat, which is good. She's learning. She's I have to take the initiative. Courtney is giving a little monologue about how nervous she is about getting time, and also how hopeful she is that Hannah B and Kaylin's drama has been left behind in LA. And all the women are just rolling their eyes. They're like, that's not a thing. And meanwhile, Hannah B is telling Colton that she's the most important thing for him is to find a woman of noble character.
Oh, what does that mean?
I loved that moment so much. It was so, like, medieval. It was like I was reading, the lays of a bard, you know. It's like a woman of noble character to give me her favor for the joust. And she's like, now I'm worried that you might not trust my character. And her fears of that are making her want to step back from him. So she just wanted to make sure they're okay. A lot of registers going on here. And Colton is like, you know, I've decided I'm okay with it and I'm not going to get involved with you and Kaylin's drama. I was just frustrated because I like you so much. And so then they make out. And now she thinks they're probably going to fall in love. Cassie sits on his lap and is like, I had a great day except for hearing that we were siblings. And then they just talk at length about it in between making out.
Oh, yeah, just like a good like, mood setter. Just like, oh, this isn't the way you kiss your sister.
Yeah. Oh, was she? It's like, no, my sister wouldn't give a kiss like this. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, let's go back to making out. They're very physical with each other.
Yeah. This, like, was the turning point where I just felt like, you know, with her and also with Hannah G, where I was like, I feel like I shouldn't be watching this. Like, yeah. This feels like I need to just, like, go into the other room.
At one point, he is, like, on top of Hannah G.
Yeah, I mean, like, that
they seem to want us to see as much sexy time footage of Colton as humanly possible.
It just, when he is doing the sexy time movements, it just makes me think of, like, a flexible Ken doll. Like, the elbows move and the knees move.
It's a lot.
And but there's, turn and
yeah, you can turn
rotate.
The body. Yeah. And it's, like, sort of if you put your Ken doll in, like, a making out position and put it on top of the Barbie.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Somehow it just doesn't feel lifelike.
Yeah.
So then the Courtney freakout is continuing to brew. She is telling the other women how stressed out she is. She wished that she had less stress like everyone else. Hannah B is like, we're all stressed. And she's like, no, some of you have had more time. And I've been so respectful. And now I'm frustrated. I haven't been getting the attention.
See, being respectful does not benefit you on this show.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Unless the lead
especially,
is very, very into you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's
it's tough.
That's the thing, too, is that, like, if you're going to be respectful but then get, like, violently resentful of it, then it's just going to end
up— Then you're not really being respectful.
You're not really being respectful. And it's just going to spew out in some much worse way than if you had just been a little bit more assertive.
Yeah, if you just run in there, like, when he first enters the room, like, that's the way to maybe do it.
And
just, like...
certainly the producers, I'm sure, were not giving her the go-ahead to go talk to him and were giving Demi the go-ahead to talk to him a second time. Like, this just reeked of production.
Well, and my thing, too, is, like, I mean, she had, like, not, like, valid points necessarily, but I could very much see where she was coming from, but she was just, like,
handled it terribly.
Like, in the worst possible ways to verbalize things, it's like, oof, like, that was not a soft landing.
Yeah, this was just a train wreck from the beginning.
Yeah, and just both parties full train wreck.
Well, so Demi tries to handle it in a sort of, you know, straightforward, blunt way at first and says, you know, I think you need to get out of your own head. She's like, you're so much different than this, which is the sort of thing Demi says that she, like, doesn't mean.
Yeah.
Like, you're better than this. And then she's like, she sucks. But she's basically like, you need to, like, really go talk to him. You can't keep sitting here and waiting around. Mm-hmm. She thinks Demi's being lazy.
Courtney.
She thinks Courtney is being lazy. So Demi gets her time at this point, and she tells Colton, you know, there's another side to me, a darker side, a heavier side. And this is when she tells him that her mom has been in federal prison. She says that this is the week that she was released.
God.
What a time for that to happen. And she talks about, you know, how hard it is to see someone that you love and who loves you so much in this situation, prison. And she says, my mom might be super messed up, but she loves me so much and I love her unconditionally. And Colton says, you know, you've turned this into a positive or optimistic situation. And that takes a special person, which is there's this sort of like cliche that you need to say, but it always makes me so uncomfortable. It's like, how can you perform that you have handled this bad thing that happened to you through no fault of your own in the most virtuous way possible, and that will make you, like, worthy of more. So they have a nice resolution to their conversation. Demi, or Courtney, I'm going to keep doing that. Yeah. Courtney's losing her mind.
And also this just, given that she just told this really weighty story, this is now, of course, the worst possible time
to just like...
for Courtney to freak out and spiral over her lack of time and direct all of that frustration at Demi. Mm. It's just a recipe for disaster or like pure gold in the production's mind.
Yeah. I mean, we had this weird interaction where Demi comes back and is, I mean, Courtney's like, I really thought I'd get a one-on-one date this week. And I'm like, why?
Really?
Why?
There's been no indication that
Hannah
you
G
have.
Still hasn't gotten a one-on-one date.
What are you talking about?
Very bizarre.
What haven't we seen?
Also,
I'm
that's
confused.
Like really something to like vent to the crowd, you know, where it's just like.
When most of them at this point still haven't gotten a one-on-one.
Like are people going to be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I was actually thinking you deserve a one-on-one.
I think that you probably we should all go
it's
home.
It's like, you know what? You're right. Like, let's just get out of here, you know?
But she feels like she's the only person that Colton has not been, like, making feel special, which fits oddly with her idea that she was going to get a one-on-one. And Demi's like, look, you just need to make a move. Everyone else is doing it. And Courtney says, I'm just going to wait patiently and maybe I'll talk to him. There was some weird stuff going on this date.
Very weird.
It felt very produced. Like, because I don't really believe that Courtney was not trying to talk to Colton.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we know that they are none of the women can talk to the lead unless they are given the go-ahead by production. Mm-hmm. So it's like the same thing with someone who interrupts. Like production is giving them the green light and sending them there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think they wanted to – they saw Courtney begin to – lose her mind, and this seemed like a good way to continue her down that path.
Yeah, if not talking to Colton is going to, like, reduce you into a babbling mess, then they're like, perfect, so we won't send you to talk to Colton. Sorry, Courtney, it's not your turn. Or maybe that didn't happen. It's just it felt all very
manufactured.
That's how it felt. Yeah. So Demi, at this point, gets up and goes to talk to Colton again and be like, thank you for that wonderful conversation that we have. So then Kirpa tells Courtney that Demi has already talked to him twice. So, you know, Courtney just needs to go get her time now because he's into double time with people. Courtney says, oh, well, I just talked to Demi about how upset I was about not having time. So it's really, like, rude of her to go talk to him again instead of, I guess, like, helping Courtney get her time or deferring to Courtney. So she goes upstairs and seems to think that she's going to be interrupting Demi with Colton, which is another weird moment where I feel like they sent her there thinking that Colton was there.
Yeah.
But it's just Demi. And
this was a terrible confrontation.
Awful. I couldn't even write most of it down because I could barely figure out what either of them were
saying.
None
of it made a lot of really made sense.
Yeah, like Demi is like, I've been trying to help you. And Courtney's like, you knew I was upset about not getting time. And, you know, Demi's like, you should have tried harder. And Courtney's like, I did try. Demi says, you have no idea what I'm going through. And Courtney says, you have no idea what I'm going through. Demi says Courtney was rude to her. Courtney says Demi was rude to her. And I just let it pass because I was raised with class.
Oof. There's a whole aside about maturity and age, but they're both extremely young.
Yeah. I mean, Demi does come off to me as younger than, like, any of the other women. I don't know why that is, but
she
is the same age as
young,
most of them.
Yeah, right, yeah. But it was a comment that could have was meant to be condescending.
Oh yeah. There's no way to like ask like, oh, how old are you again? Like in like a non, you know, like, oh, I'm just wondering. You know? Can't really say it that way and get away.
I thought
with
that. You were young because your skin looks so great. Can't believe you're 30, Claire. It's amazing. So it's time for the rose ceremony, and Courtney still hasn't talked to Colton. She's the only one who hasn't. Or not the rose ceremony, but the awarding of the group date rose. And Colton gives it to Demi. She feels like she really sent a huge message out to all her haters.
Okay.
She's like, this is what Cloud 9 feels like right now. It feels really, really good. This is another thing where Demi is always making these really tactless speeches to all the women, Like, she says that not in the moment, but to everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it feels like production is just like, go back just there like, and tell everyone and just, how you're feeling. Just say everything that's on your mind. And she's like, all right, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I'm into it. So Courtney is devastated. And I think it seems like sort of blames Colton mm-hmm. for not realizing that he gave Demi extra time and did not talk to her mm-hmm. and make an effort to talk to her. I mean, they're not falling in love.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got to know now.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break, but we'll be right back with more from week 4 of The Bachelor. Plus, stick around after the credits for a little bonus interview with Claire about books, the other part of her job.
My day job, you might say.
Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
I am so glad that it's finally warming up. And it also means that I just want to have fun this summer and I don't want to be worrying about meal prep. And luckily, I can do something about that with Factor, especially because they have so many meal options like Protein Plus, Keto, Vegetarian, something for every diet.
Their fresh, never frozen meals are ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals.
With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every single week, you'll always have new flavors to explore.
Make your whole day delicious. From breakfast to dessert, stay fueled with easy, nutritious options.
I love having a few Factor meals just sitting in my fridge, especially because I work from home. It's so nice to finish up a taping and not have to figure out what to cook myself. Just look in my fridge and be like, oh, in 2 minutes, I can be eating mushroom chicken thighs and wild rice or tomato basil chicken risotto or Santa Fe style green chili beef skillet. And they always have a nice like vegetable side. It feels well balanced. I feel full after, and it's not a headache at all.
Head to factormeals.com/LTSI50 and use code LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month.
That's code LTSI50 at factormeals.com/LTSI50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees.
Oh, I'm so happy the weather is finally turning. If you, like me, have been wanting to update your wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune, then Quince is for you. You can build up a lineup of timeless pieces that will keep you looking effortlessly chic year after year.
Like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings right on to you.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, as well as premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince for all these staples. I mean, linen is my favorite summer fabric. They have so many amazing linen staples. I also found my new go-to, like, summer running around to the playground in the coffee shop bag. It's the pebbled Italian leather. front sling bag. I can just fit a wallet and my phone and my AirPods in it, maybe some lip balm. Absolutely perfect. I'm so obsessed with it. And the price was exactly what I wanted to.
Get warm weather ready with Quince.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/LTSI.
Anyone who's been listening to this podcast for a while, or even not that long, knows that we love Article. I mean, honestly, I'm looking around my home right now. Coffee tables from Article. That lovely chair out on my deck, Article. Our big console, Article. My bed frame, Article. This is an Article household.
It is. And it was an inspiration to me. We finally got our first Article piece of furniture recently, our new couch. And my husband and I are both constantly just like, how did we live before this couch? This is such an improvement over what we had before. It's so comfortable. It just seems to get more comfortable every day. I mean, it's the couch you dream of.
And the reason that we have both been able to find ideal furniture on Article is because Article believes in delightful design for every home.
And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too.
Their curated assortment of mid-century modern, coastal, industrial, Scandi, and boho designs makes furniture shopping simple.
And their team of designers are all about finding that perfect balance between style, quality, and price, because we all want the best of all of those three things united in one piece of furniture, right?
Plus, they're dedicated to thoughtful craftsmanship that stands the test of time and, you know, looks good doing it.
Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
To claim, visit article.com/LTSI, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout.
That's article.com/LTSI for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more.
1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list, as they should, because it's very important.
If that's you, then make this year the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Wow, that is really fast. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I personally used Babbel before I headed off to Paris for 3 weeks, and it was so helpful, just kind of giving me back the basic understanding of French, allowing me to interact with people in restaurants, in shops, and, you know, just not make a total fool of myself when in a foreign country.
Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners.
Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
Spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
All right, Kaylin's date starts with an butler, I guess, an elderly man in a top hat coming in with a date card that says, "I've been waiting for this special day for so long, at least a few weeks. Meet me downstairs."
So long.
So long. Was that a Pretty Woman reference? I was like, what is this date card? It's just not a pun.
I think it was just meant to be fancy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's not even fancy. It's like fancy is
they've
like
just given up
Colton
on the date card.
Humbly
request. They're just like, we don't know what to do here. Just like, just here's the date card.
Yeah,
but of course, this is the date where they take a woman shopping and then have her lord it over all the other women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which has like a special way considering Hannah B is like, oh, well, like I hope that she doesn't just get a whole bunch of clothes. And then all of a sudden it's like a producer phones in with a walkie talkie. It's like, clothes, go, 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 go. Make sure she has lots of bags.
Make her, yeah, bring back as many bags. Put each individual item in its own bag.
Give her every single clothing item in that store. There we go.
Hannah B gives it a little in the moment where she's like, I'm fine. I'm not thrilled, but I'm fine. I'm totally fine. I remember, you know, when Kaylin was first runner up in Miss USA and I didn't clap for her. I should have clapped for her leaving
Hannah,
for her one-on-one.
Stop digging your own grave. Stop saying these things.
I was like, it's coming off like maybe you were not in the right in that situation. Yeah, more yeah. and more. So
though Vulture did run an article where sources took Hannah's side.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
who can too. Say? Yeah. There was, it really didn't clarify much.
Yeah, no, it was just more just like said that with no weight to it. We're just like, yeah, they said Kaylin. But
I continue to think they're it. Probably both at fault and they yeah, were probably right. just like kind of dickish to each yeah, other at right. Miss USA.
Yeah. Not at the top of my priority list in no. terms of things I care about.
Yeah.
And then she's talking to Hannah G and is sort of like, knowing Kaylin, I think she'll really enjoy this date. And then they both laugh for like a really long time.
Also,
I was like, what is so...
Who wouldn't enjoy
right.
being taken on a shopping spree?
Actually, me, probably.
Really? You wouldn't? I would enjoy a lot of free clothing. I'm going to say
I would enjoy the free clothing, but the process of getting it would be so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, the parading yeah. around in the clothes. But if yeah. that's what I have to do to get like a whole new wardrobe, you know what? I volunteer.
Well, also, I feel like I would be like worried about stuff fitting. You know, there'd just be a lot of like trying on clothes anxiety that was paired yeah. with it. Maybe they don't show that, where if like a dress just like is not like fitting
they only
well.
Show the flattering.
It's
footage.
Only the ones that are like, oh, that one. Yeah. So.
I honestly thought I would
films.
Really enjoy trying on wedding dresses, and instead I had severe performance anxiety.
Oh, yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
I dragged all these friends out
well, that's,
here
yeah, that's very
to
stressful.
Support me, and now it's like, what if I don't even like every single dress yep, I try yep, on? What yep. if I, like, it doesn't look right on me?
Yeah. And then but then you have to do, like, the parade out
yeah,
confidently anyway.
And then you have to, like, just... pretend that you feel amazing.
yeah.
Kaylin clearly does. I mean, she is a beauty.
She's
yeah,
a pageant
yeah, right.
girl.
So it's like yeah. men, yeah.
She's the right
person.
The right
She's person. Paraded yeah. around in gowns many a time before.
Yeah.
And so he buys her all these like tasseled cocktail dresses and shoes. She comes back with so many shopping bags.
These are the only dates they ever allow them to return in between.
Yeah.
Just so they can they torture can. The other women.
They might go back in between, but we never see it because they do have to get ready for the nighttime date.
Do you think
I don't
that,
know how that works
this
usually.
Is a sidebar? But do you think Kaylin gets an extra suitcase to like take all the stuff back?
Ooh.
Because listen, like
maybe she has
you can
to
only
dump
pack
some
so
stuff.
Much. Yeah, no, right. It's like all right, well, this one was from H&M that I brought, and like this is from you know, so
you have to
gotta just
your,
sacrifice some
your
things.
Suitcase.
Yeah, right.
Colton is actually like really auditioning as shopping boyfriend. Like we've seen a lot of guys do this date before, but no one I've never seen anyone really get into it in this
yeah.
way. He was like, let me put this jacket on you. Oh my God, I love it. It's oh. so we have to get that. You look so hot in this jacket.
Oh, I mean Colton, like that paired with the vlogging stuff is like Instagram boyfriend
oh, yeah.
audition.
Oh yeah.
He's born
yeah.
to be an Instagram
yeah, yeah, yeah.
boyfriend.
That's really what
well,
we're going for
I think
here.
It's in his future.
Yeah. I think so too. And Kaylin shows him the shoes that he picked out. What were you guys' thoughts on the shoes?
Not
I didn't
great.
Like them.
I didn't like them. They were all just like, wow, there's never been a more beautiful pair of shoes. And I was like, those are very meh.
I just like didn't have like strong opinions.
They're just like
they
tan,
weren't great. They could have been better.
Stilettos,
they could have been
studs.
Way better. They looked very normal.
Colton has pretty normal taste. But he was very supportive, and that's the most important thing. Cassie is like weeping and being like, I'm so happy for Kaylin, but just seeing this is so hard. Night date. She is wearing a full-on pageant dress, basically. It's like an emerald satin gown.
Very fancy.
I liked the color.
Yeah.
It's very flattering on her. And this is where the date gets serious. So we're going to bring the register
yeah.
way
oh, yeah.
down.
Yeah.
Going to get pretty somber. So she has clearly gone in thinking it's time for me to talk to Colton about this traumatic thing that she referenced. When Hannah B. first sort of stirred up the drama, she mentioned to Colton that something terrible had happened in her past. And this is her time to sort of share that with him. And she gets emotional right away. She's like, "You make me really happy. But we have to talk about this story that is part of who I am, but this, it's not easy for me to share. And it's something that's come in between intimacy and past relationships." And I don't really want to talk through the details on her behalf, but basically she shares that in college she and some friends were drugged at a party and were sexually assaulted. And so she sort of didn't even fully realize what happened when she woke up.
She says she attempted to get a rape kit right away and was turned away from the first hospital.
She points out that that's illegal. Like, she clearly has, and this was her platform.
Yeah. I want to point out that this is not the first time she's told this story publicly. So, you know, she wasn't, it's not like production pushed her reveal something that she had not spoken about or gathered her thoughts on. This was a big part of her platform as Miss North Carolina, and she has written about it, talked about it. If you Google her name, you can find some of those old interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then she says the rape kit that she did get done was inconclusive because it had taken her so long to finally get it. She didn't tell her parents for a year. And then her mom became sort of a fierce advocate on her behalf. Eventually, one of the men got expelled, but nothing happened to the rest of the people involved.
Which is just horrifying. And these are criminal, highly criminal allegations. Yeah. And the justice that, quote unquote, justice that these survivors saw was one of them being expelled. Mm-hmm. So just like, I think we should, you know, all let that sink in because it's pretty disturbing. Mm.
Yeah. And I mean, this is one of the weightiest stories that we've ever seen shared on The Bachelor, especially in such detail. And she did talk about it in a lot of detail. And I thought Colton handled it about as well as you could ask.
Yeah.
He tells her he can't imagine going through something like that and that it's really devastating that it happened to her. And they talk about the guilt and shame that she felt and the sort of trauma, the triggering that she experienced around men for months afterwards. He asks her who helped her get through it. And that's when she talks about her parents and her mom especially. And so they talk about it sort of fully from her perspective for a while. He tells her, "With me, you know, you're safe." And she says she does feel very safe with him. And she's very grateful that he didn't freak out, as has happened to her in the past. And at that point, he hugs her and he says, "You know, I was in a relationship with someone in the past who had been sexually abused." And it was extremely hard for him to watch, seeing her deal with that pain and struggling with feeling the guilt of, like, feeling pain when he hadn't even been the victim. And she says, "No, you know, I've seen how it's affected everyone who cares about me, and that's something that everyone has to go through." And he... So he's sort of saying, you know, "I've been in a relationship with someone who has suffered in this way, and I've sort of learned how to cope or sort of sit with that, suffering that someone I love has gone through." And he also sort of shares that is related to, you know, this. He says this was his first love, and it's related to why he has never had sex. It was such a real-seeming conversation to me. Yes. I felt uncomfortable watching it.
It was very intimate, and the inelegance of it, to an extent, almost made it ring more true to me. Like, that is a really weighty thing and a hard thing to hear from someone that you're starting to care about.
Right.
Or from,
right.
from anyone, from someone you don't know, you know, anyone. Yeah. And I think it was a very human way to respond to it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I felt that his empathy did come through. I do understand why people would viscerally, you know, feel like, why is he even bringing his mm-hmm. virginity, which is something that has been a lot of light has been made of, you know, throughout mm-hmm. this, or center himself at all. Mm-hmm. That's not how it came off to me. But again,
yeah,
I understand that reaction as well. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And
yeah. I felt that like people, I think, reacted badly to the idea that he was comparing opening up about his virginity to opening up about what she's been
through.
Which
is not what I took away
from
it.
Yeah, no, same. Yeah.
What I took away from it was that he was saying that his experience with intimacy and virginity was much more emotional and bound up with a lot more pain mm-hmm. than he had really openly shared. And that made it very difficult for
to
him
talk
to talk about and to mm-hmm. grapple with.
And
I think that's
true.
Real.
Yeah. It is real. Yeah. And it's true right. that he's being constantly, I mean, just in every episode
like
of this show thus far,
and,
asked like, why, and, what is the reason? What is the reason? And he has sort of danced around that and mm-hmm. said, you know, given these vague reasons, made it clear that he's not waiting for marriage, tried to kind of give these succinct answers. And it always did feel like maybe the answer was more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this makes a lot of sense to me. And he does not owe anyone that explanation.
Right.
And I think it's, you know, we all know who his mm-hmm. first love was.
Right.
That was a very, very high profile case of sexual abuse. And when they were dating, that is not something that had been made public.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was, you know, of course, primarily her experience mm-hmm. and, you know, his first love's pain. But I think it is true that when someone that you love is suffering in that way, mm-hmm. You are also grappling with how mm-hmm. to be there for them and how to hold even a, you know, a bit of their pain mm-hmm. in yourself and within that relationship. And that's also very, very challenging.
I think what he's trying to express, which is important, is like, this isn't new to me.
Right.
Like
mm-hmm.
you're not laying
and
something on me that I can't. Yeah.
Right.
This is something that I've already had to learn how to, like, handle in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And
I have loved someone through all of that pain.
Yeah.
And so I can love you through that pain if that is where this relationship goes.
Right.
I don't want to, like,
overstate the...
Right. No, well, and I guess I'm also just trying to grapple with having this on The Bachelor at all. And it's something that... I think can have positive impacts on people who have gone through this mm-hmm. and don't see their experience talked about openly enough. And Kaylin obviously is a very articulate, like, poised deliverer of that experience and message. The Bachelor, I wonder if there's any way to talk about things like this on the show without making it feel exploitative.
I think for me, I definitely kind of wrestle with that too, with how kind of comfortable I mean, I think it's great for those conversations to be had and more people to be aware of, like, those types of issues being a very relevant thing still. And I think I would feel a lot more kind of, like, complicated about it if she hadn't made it a platform for herself already. So that is a bit of a comfort to me,
mm-hmm.
You know, knowing that, like, this isn't new. This isn't saved just for
the drama
a Bachelor.
Of the show.
Yeah, right,
a
right.
A big reveal,
I mean, I do think that I didn't love kind of the previews, like, going into it where it's like, oh, like, a very dramatic conversation is about to be had. Like, you don't want to miss
the
teasing.
It.
A very special episode
yeah.
of
but
The Bachelor.
I do think, like, for the most part, especially given other situations where The Bachelor has not handled situations and issues well, I think this was overall done in a thoughtful and not non-crafted way is kind of what I wanted to get at. Is like, what you were saying is, like, the inelegance of it made it feel like a made it felt like a better handled thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the way that they let it unfold kind of without music or too much editing, it felt like we were really watching an honest conversation. And I think that what I end up always reacting a little bit to is just the same thing, just the way the Bachelor economy is set up within the show is that it's inevitable that even if these conversations go as well as they can, that we end up with this idea of like, well, her female trauma is her like origin story. It's what made her strong and worthy. And it's what, you know, will win her the protection of this man. Or on the flip side, even it ends up being like, this is, you know, he has suffered in the slings and arrows of life, and now he gets a woman to nurture him. You know, like I feel like it ends up playing into this trauma. Yeah.
Trauma is set up as currency within the show. So there's always going to be that little undercurrent of something that feels a bit exploitative, even if the actual conversation between these two was not, even if both of them were sincere and, you know, perhaps even wanted to have that conversation publicly in order to, you know, get a message out to other survivors. And I, you know, that it's just very complicated and thorny, and I'm still sort of grappling with my thoughts about it. But I was glad to see both Kaylin and Colton posting Instagram posts in solidarity with survivors, giving real information, encouraging people to donate, to rain. And I was a little bit surprised that that ABC didn't at any point flash to the National Sexual Assault Hotline. For anyone who even this conversation might have been triggering to, you can always reach out at 1-800-656-4673. And I also feel like it's important, something that I was struck by in Kaylin's telling you, she brought up the rape kits, and there is a really massive backlog of untested rape kits in this country. Claire mentioned last night there is an organization called End the Backlog, which is fighting this. Joe Biden has actually been very outspoken about the backlog, and Mariska Hargitay's organization, Joyful Heart.
I think that is the end of
the backlog. That's the end of the backlog? Okay. I wasn't sure if they were.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It seems to be interchangeable.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, there are organizations out there doing the work to push back on this. And if people are going to watch this show, and millions of people do, it is heartening to at least sometimes see real and important messaging coming across, even if it's done imperfectly.
Yeah. And even if the medium is inherently flawed.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And speaking of the medium being inherently flawed, the next thing that happens is the cocktail party, and which is taken up almost entirely by drama between Courtney and Demi.
This was such a weird pivot to me. Like, I couldn't even tweet the rest of the time.
Jarring,
I was like, I can't make a bunch of jokes after.
Right.
That's the medium.
But first he talks to Hannah G. He takes her to his hotel room. She is in a hot pink slip dress and a high ponytail, and she looks exactly like Barbie. I could not get over it. And he like pins her down on his bed for like a long time, it seems like. Meanwhile, Kaylin has decided to just continue taking the high road, I guess, but to actively squash the beef between herself and Hannah B. So she pulls her aside for a chat and says, there's been tension, there's been unnecessary drama, we've both put off addressing it, I think we just really need to hash it out now and let it go. And Hannah says, it's been uncomfortable, we used to be good friends, and then we fought, and it's okay if we're upset, there's just no getting around it. And Kaylin's like, well, no, I think that, you know, it's hard enough for us here in this competition as women, we should, like, just let this feud go, and we don't have to be friends, but just like be a more supportive environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hannah's like, yeah, well, we're both going to be here. Colton likes both of us. And, like, I don't hate you. And Kaylin's like, I don't hate you. Like, we don't wish harm on each other. And they're like, kiss and make up. And then Hannah says, I do accept her apology. Yeah,
it's like, that's, like, why I'm like, you know, there was a lot of build up to a pretty, like, oh, yeah, no, like, that was good enough for me to just completely not be viscerally unfurled every time someone whispers Kaylin's name in a room. So I just like don't fully buy it, but I would love if it weren't a thing anymore.
Yeah, but I'm excited for it to not be a thing. She says World War III was averted tonight. Fun fact for Hannah, we're already in World War III. It's called the War on Terror. But it was, I felt like Hannah was having a different conversation than Kaylin. Like she was hearing things that Kaylin was not saying. And but it, if it works, you know, if it gets them to a place of peace, then so be it. Courtney begins sort of needling at Demi in the group. She's like, I hope that I will continue to be here and that people who don't deserve to be here won't be here much longer. And someone's like, oh, you think some people don't deserve to be here? And she's like, yeah, I think some people don't deserve to be here. This isn't a game. This isn't show and tell.
Or, it is, in fact, a game.
It is kind of a game.
Yeah.
Game of love. Demi
love
gets up and leaves. I've never seen Demi avoid a conflict, which made me feel for a second like Courtney was getting the upper hand. I was like, she's beating Demi at her own game, which I was wrong about. But so she kind of goes and stands in a corner behind some plants to avoid Courtney. And Onyeka comes over and chats to her, and Demi's like, I don't want to be mean, but I just don't want to listen to Courtney right now. And Onyeka's like, oh, well, do you think Courtney's going to talk shit about you to Colton? Demi had not thought about that, but now that she does, she is not wasting any time.
Oh, yeah. Now it's like, okay.
Both of the women in the course of this evening say something like, I'm really nice until I'm not, which is a classic bachelor self-description. So she immediately grabs Colton and says that Courtney is the cancer of the house.
Quite the thing to say. My God.
I mean, that is aggressive.
So aggressive.
That is like the most aggressive, just really.
And just a real outsize, you know, reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, she's toxic. She attacked me. She said I was playing God. Like every accusation. The thing is that like every attack that she says Courtney made on her sounds so mild.
Compared to
the cancer of the house.
Yeah, she says, like, this is the meanest thing that's ever been said about me. I'm like, the meanest thing anyone's ever said about you is that, like, you play God.
I find that very difficult to
believe. Or that you're immature. Like, that's the meanest
thing? Very difficult to believe. She's the kind of person who inspires intense reactions, and I'm sure people have said meaner things to her than that. Colton, again, is like, oh, God, like, I've misjudged everything. Like, people are being cancerous out there, and I didn't even realize it. Courtney, at this point, interrupts them making out. And Courtney immediately sits down, and it's unclear to me what she's kind of trying to accomplish. It seems like she is both throwing Demi under the bus and also being, like, giving Colton a hard time.
Yeah.
It was a bad tactical move.
Right. Yeah. Like, she's sort of, like, Demi pulled this shit on me and then you rewarded her. And I want you to basically like explain yourself. Like, why did you give her Rose and why did you not give me time? So in the process, she's like, yeah, talking shit both about another girl and Colton.
Yeah, just a good look. A very good look.
I was like, you could just keep this only to Colton and maybe get away with it. You could also be like, why didn't you give me time?
Demi already has a Rose. So the only person who's going to be harmed by this is Courtney.
Yeah.
She would have been better off.
He's not going to take away Courtney's rose because Demi's rose because he finds out that Demi, you know, went behind Courtney's back for time.
Also, there are so many things just like step by step that are a recipe for a disaster with Courtney, and then like just being told, it's like, oh yeah, someone thinks that you're the cancer of the house. It's not very easy news to receive.
No. Well, because he immediately is just like, oh, well, it's funny you say that about Demi. She said you were the cancer of the house.
It's a, like, that's that like not is not even being said about me, but Claire looking me in the eyes and just saying those words like just like makes me feel away. So it's just a lot.
I did appreciate the reaction of the other women when it came to light that this had happened. They were like, wait, you actually said that?
What? Courtney sits down with the girls at, like, this clearly, the conversation with Colton goes poorly, but she's like, no, Demi is the cancer. And he's like, I don't know what to believe even more now. You're both saying that the other person is the cancer, and, like, which one of you is telling the truth?
Colton cannot handle disagreements between the women. He's just like, I'm at a loss. Yeah. You both say the other one is wrong. Who can be believed?
So Courtney sits down and is like, all right, I want to take a poll. Everyone raise your hand if you think I'm the cancer in the house. And Demi just like shoots her hand up and no one else does. Everyone else is like, what? Who would say that? And Demi's like, me. I said it. I believe it. I love it. She's a cancer. Courtney's like, how? And Demi's like, you just are. You're mean and you attacked me. You said I was playing God and that I was immature. And so therefore you definitely are the cancer of the house.
Makes sense.
Like, they both are just in this thing where they're like, I can't believe you said that horrible thing about me. I'm now going to confirm it by doing something even worse. Because then Courtney is like, oh, well, you're immature and you need a timeout. And I was like, oh, it's God, like, you're both like, being so terrible right now. It's interesting. All the other women, like, it seems like Courtney is a huge drip and none of them are loving her commentary. But also when they find out Demi called her cancer, they're all like, well, that was really uncalled for, to be honest. So I don't think the house is really behind either of them. They would all like to be excluded from this narrative. And then it's time for the rose ceremony. And Demi is like, you know, I think that Courtney should go home over Tracy. I'm the one person who has the balls to say there's someone here who sucks. Maybe she could not suck someday, but she sucks now. And the roses go to Hannah G, Heather, Kirpa, Hannah B, Katie, Elise, Sydney, Cassie, Nicole, and Onyeka.
Goodbye, Tracy and Courtney.
Tracy and Courtney.
Demi's two foes.
Just wow.
Honestly, I'm worried for Demi that, like, I mean, she sucks, so I'm not, like, worried for her. But I'm worried that she won't have a storyline anymore.
Oh, yeah, now it's just like, okay,
She's sort of run her course. Yeah. And then Colton's going to eventually, in the next few weeks, just send her home.
Yeah. It's kind of wild that she, like, got the group date rose. When he doesn't seem that interested in her, in fact, seems uncomfortable around her.
Yeah.
So it seems like it was for drama, like it was a producer pick, but now he's like stuck with her and all of her drama partners are gone. On her way out, Courtney says again that Demi is the cancer of the house.
Can we just not?
I mean, that's like just the word cancer was really overused this episode. And she's like, I think it says a lot that Demi chose to bash another female when she already had a rose.
Okay.
There's just so much happening.
That's feminism.
I mean, no one in this little trio, I mean, more so Demi Courtney here, but like Tracy, like they're all three have their stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
So, you know, there's no winners here.
It's really just like, the worst people just gravitating into a little rat king in the middle of the groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Demi's like, Dr. Demi, cut out the cancer. And then she toasts to no more leeches ever again. And then the credits are just more shots of the women retching at the thought of eating, like, pig intestines. Which
and
is
then
actually
filming Onyeka vomiting.
Yeah.
Which is just no one needs.
I mean, honestly, having eaten a lot of meat in a hot location before, it's not great for your stomach. If you ever, you know, just want to cram yourself full of exotic meats and then run around in the 100-degree heat, I recommend not doing that.
Yeah, no, fair. I mean, fair enough.
Bad idea. So any final thoughts on this episode as we wrap up?
I mean, there were so many different
conversations.
I'm
emotionally exhausted.
I mean, just think that we had like two very vulnerable, intense conversations, one more than the other. And then you go to Cancer of the House. Like, yeah. there was a lot.
Emotional whiplash.
Yeah. Oh my
this
God.
Episode.
Yeah. And we got whiplash just like that bungee jump. That's
you know,
really what
I'm
it
just
was.
I'm ready for. I want to see Colton cry. I want to see him jump over a fence. Like, I'm ready for that.
Have we seen Colton cry at all yet?
He cried a little bit during his conversation with Kaylin.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not
but
a full
not
sob. Not like a yeah. full breakdown he's so exhausted from this process.
Yeah. Because I thought like during his conversation, like he was pretty good at just kind of being present, which I think like you want. When you're telling someone something, like they're just kind of like there listening. Yeah. But we haven't seen him. No walls yet. No breakdowns.
They're coming, though.
They're coming. they're coming.
Well, I'm really just in this season for the wall at this point.
Yeah.
That wall
oh,
jump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Can't
but,
wait.
Yeah. No, I mean, overall, there's just so much that happened this episode, I feel like. More so in the second half there.
This group of women is just messy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Aren't they always?
Who do we want to see like more of is the question. Because like I feel like we don't see any of Kirpa.
I want more Kirpa because really she has some really great facial expressions.
Oh my God. Like during like the Cancer of the House stuff.
Yeah,
like,
she was just like holding back laughter in the corner. It reminded me of that Wills moment where he's like hiding behind a pillow. Like,
oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, I want more Kirpa.
Wills.
I'd like to actually see more from Cassie because we know that Colton is so into her, but we've seen very little of their actual conversations.
Yeah.
The problem is that the girls Colton is actually into are not that interesting. And so I don't necessarily even want to see more of them,
right.
even if I like them. And
then
the other girls are just the ones he keeps around for drama and they're like nightmares.
Yeah.
And so there's very few people in this season that I actually want to see more
of. For me, I feel like the people I like and I want to see more of are Tayshia, Cassie,
Tayshia,
Kirpa, Nicole.
Nicole is very funny,
Nicole,
I could use more of her.
I think Nicole is just like one of us.
Yeah.
Like that just like very much seems to be the vibe. And wait, who else? Oh, I was going to say Sydney, but I wanted to highlight too, I meant to say, it was like when they had the group date and like Demi ran at Colton and all that, Sydney's the next one to hug him, but like she hugs him like a bro or just like this like side. It's like, so I really,
I don't think
it does
Sydney's
not seem
into
that,
Colton.
I do not think Sydney's into Colton with her. She's just like, oh God, okay.
She's like, I quit my job, so I'm
she's
here.
Like, quit my, it's like, all right, we're just going to, you know, enjoy this vacation. And, you know, so that was like my first glimpse to like, oh, she is just not into this man.
He's
like,
got some good buddies in the group.
Yeah, so I think we're about to see like the just like the surge of the buddies just being like,
this isn't working out.
Bye.
Well, we're nearing a watershed. Next week is episode 5 and I can't wait, quite frankly. Brett, thank you so much for joining us
today. It's such a delight to have you on, always. Please come back soon.
I have nothing but time. Nothing but time.
Well,
no, you're both great. And yeah, thank you very much.
This is where we normally do Feminism Fails. And to be clear, this episode was not exactly a triumph of modern feminism. But there were a couple standout moments that we wanted to highlight because the show has done so much worse in the past. So we have a couple feminism wins for you this
week. Wow. Look at that.
So first, Colton's conversation about divorce with Tayshia was surprisingly non-judgmental and prioritized her ability to find happiness in life. And I loved that.
Who'd have thunk that this show could do that? And then, of course, as we discussed at length, there was a really honest and unflinching conversation that Kaylin and Colton had about Kaylin's experience of being sexually assaulted. And I think, you know, we've talked about the thorniness of that, but also why having a story on this public a platform can be really powerful.
Yeah. And also, Kaylin decided to quash the beef with Hannah this episode. And, you know, conflict between women is not inherently anti-feminist, but it was positive to see them decide not to play into some sort of like cat fight narrative and decide to have a more mature level of distaste for each other. And I'm going to count that as a win, too.
Absolutely. They got to end the conflict on their terms rather than, you know, one of them defeating the other by
leaving them on an island
or like, you know, Colton deciding that one of them was more desirable. So therefore they won. This felt better.
I preferred it.
And that's it for Here to Make Friends. Thanks so much to our guest, Brett Vergara, and our producers, Nick Offenberg and Sarah Patterson.
Please subscribe to Here to Make Friends wherever you listen to podcasts and give us a 5-star rating and review. You don't want to miss a moment of Colton's season recaps. Also, give us a follow on Facebook and Instagram at Here to Make Friends Pod.
And you can follow us individually on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Emilady Rose.
And I'm at Claire E. Fallon.
We'll be back on Tuesday.
Hey there, I'm Rachel Roberts, and this is Don't Sleep on It by HuffPost. Today, we're switching things up with a rundown of some new books you shouldn't be sleeping on this month with culture writer for HuffPost, Claire Fallon. Claire focuses on literary fiction and trends, language, and pop culture, and most importantly for our purposes today, is one of our resident book critics. Also super important, Claire is one half of HuffPost's Bachelor Recap podcast, Here to Make Friends. Thank you for letting me steal you for a second today, Claire.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me a little bit.
No problem. So when we were prepping for this, you mentioned that you don't have a favorite book.
Yeah, I don't have a favorite book. Books are so different. They offer so many varieties of experience as a reader. It's hard to pick one that is head and shoulders above all the rest.
Right. I was wondering if it was kind of like you can't choose your favorite child.
Yeah, well, I don't know yet whether I'll be able to choose a favorite child, but I certainly hope I'll feel the same way about my children that I feel about my favorite books. They're all equal in their different ways.
I love it. But you have some recommendations for us.
Yes, I've been reading some of the new January fiction and nonfiction, and there are a few books that I really think people should check out.
Great. What's the first one?
So the most recent book that I read is called All the Lives We Ever Lived, Seeking Solace in Virginia Woolf by Catherine Smith. And it's a memoir about her father's death from cancer and also a exploration of Virginia Woolf's novel To the Lighthouse, which is one of sort of the most famous novels about parental death and grieving. I'm a big fan of Virginia Woolf, so I instantly, you know, latched onto that. But it's a really beautiful, thoughtful book, and especially if you have gone through loss in your life, I thought it was really relatable and thoughtfully written, and also a beautiful new perspective on a book that a lot of people love. And if you haven't read To the Lighthouse, you should also read that.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you feel like you need to have read To the Lighthouse before reading this one, or do you think you can just, like, take it on?
That's a good question. I think you could definitely still read it, but you would definitely get a lot more out of this book if you had read To the Lighthouse.
So it's like two recommendations in one.
It's sneaky.
Yeah.
It's a sneaky two-book recommendation.
All right. What's maybe your third recommendation, I guess?
Yes. The book The Water Cure by Sophie McIntosh has been getting a good amount of buzz this month for good reason. It is a very eerie, unsettling novel about three sisters who live with their mother and father on what appears to be this remote island, and their father leads them in this cult-like lifestyle. They think the outside world is impure. He's the only one who's able to leave the island, but one day he doesn't come back, and they're left with their mother. And then some strange men arrive on the island. And it's ends up being this fascinating examination of gender dynamics and desire and family relationships. And it's been described a lot as a dystopia. it could be happening right now. It's sort of about this very isolated family and the little world they create together. But it does speak a lot to the kinds of conversations that we're having about, you know, consent and autonomy and gender relations right now.
Ah, that sounds so good.
It's really good.
When you said dystopian, I feel like it's having such a moment right now. I feel like everything is dystopian.
And often even things that aren't actually set in the future, which is how we would traditionally talk about dystopia, are being described as dystopian because the current political moment feels very dystopian. And I don't really know how helpful that feels, but it is really clarifying sometimes to see those things being unpacked in fiction. There is a certain hopefulness about feeling like you're engaging with what's actually going on in the world through art as well as through, you know, your news consumption.
Absolutely. Well, that sounds really good and timely.
Yeah.
And you have a third one.
Yeah, I just recently picked up, and I haven't finished yet, the short story collection, Mouthful of Birds, by Samantha Schweblin, who is an Argentinian-born writer. The book was translated by Megan McDowell, who's a great translator. And I've spoken to so many people, other critics that I really respect over the years, who really love the author Samantha Schweblin. And this is the first book of hers I've picked up, and it doesn't disappoint. She's so got such a weird, unsettling. Clearly, that's the kind of book I like. Sort of.
There's a theme.
Yeah. Her stories are sort of off-kilter in a way that's very revealing about things that lie beneath the surface. And I can't wait to read the rest of them. And I wish that I had finished it so that I could say more, but I really recommend that people check it out.
Awesome. I had this thought when you were talking. When you find a book is disappointing, do you ever put it down or do you have to finish it?
I do put books down. But not every time. It's a constant struggle because I often want to give a book a chance to take me. Sometimes a book teaches you how to read it. Sometimes I start a book and I think, eh. And then by the end, I realize that I just wasn't processing it in the correct way. Other times I read the whole book and I'm like, that was a waste of time. There was something else I could have been reading. But that's just part of, you know, the experience of being a reader. And I think in the end, you know, you just have to make your decisions, read what you want to read, and you'll definitely get something out of whatever you choose to read.
I think that's a wonderful note to end on. Thank you so much. I mean, saying a book teaches you how to read it is like one of the most beautiful phrases I think I've ever heard.
I forget where I first heard that. I'm sure I heard it from someone, but I think about that often when I'm struggling with a book, and sometimes it's really helpful.
Yeah. But thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and for Claire's various recommendations throughout the year and critiques of books?
Yes.
Critiques of books, head to HuffPost.com. You can find all future episodes of Don't Sleep on It on Google Home, Amazon Alexa, and Apple Podcasts.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Nike, Walmart, and Zappos. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers. And Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Sometimes there will be something that is just like nagging at me, bothering me about something in my life, and I just swirl it around and around and around in my head and don't quite know how to address it. And something that can really help me sort that through and like take action is therapy.
I completely agree. I've been really stressed lately because I've just been getting sick over and over again. And before I know it, I'm feeling a lot of emotions and I don't even connect where they're coming from with the actual origin. We all carry around these stressors, right? And when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a great safe space to get things off of your chest and figure out how to actually work through whatever's weighing you down.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/love to see it.